even though, despite recognizing that you're a sinner, but also believing that God loves you, even though you're a sinner. So for me, I'd always been very, like, I think, okay, anyway. During the second night, the altar call or the session was about, do you believe that God loves you? And do you believe that despite everything that you've done or everything that you think about yourself, that God still loves you? And so the speaker told us to close our eyes and think about what are the things that keeps you from believing that God loves you, and to take those things and bring them to the cross and ask Jesus if, Jesus, did you die because of this? So, like, for his examples were, like, if you did something really bad or something that you think that, like, makes you undeserving of God's love, then you would pray to Jesus, be like, oh, did you die for my, like, this sin or whatever? But anyway, for me, like, it's always been hard to understand God's love because I never connected with the feeling of, like, brokenness, of feeling like I'm so horrible, like, oh, I did something so bad, and then and then people always share about, like, that feeling. So because they're so broken, that's why God's love is so meaningful to them. But for me, like, I've never felt that level of brokenness, so I've never really been able to understand, like, God's, so I've just been like, okay, God loves me, cool. Like, it doesn't really make that big of an impact, right? But then I guess that's also another reason why it's been hard for me to believe that God loves me. So at that time when he told us to think about why can't you believe that God loves you? So for me, what I came up with wasn't what I've done that's so bad, but it's not like, oh, I did something so bad that God can't love me anymore. But instead it's more of like, why should God love me in the first place? And like, I'm not like, what is so good about me that God Almighty would love me? So, like, that was kind of my question. And for me, it was like, okay, so when I was praying, I guess what I was thinking that was hindering me from believing it was, like, a lot of insecurities and a lot of things that I feel like I'm not good enough in. So it's just like, yeah, I'm not especially, like, amazing at this or anything, actually, so why should God love me, right? So then, and then the speaker said that if you have those things, like, come to the front and then find a counselor to pray for you, and just the counselor will pray the gospel over you. So it was just like, okay, like, the counselor will just kind of say, like, God still loves you. That's what I was thinking, but I was like, okay, whatever, I'll just go up. And then, so I went up to my counselor and I shared with her these reasons that I've, that keep me from, like, I know I've always just kind of said that, oh yeah, God loves me, God loves you, guys, everything's good, God loves us. But, like, it's never become, like, a reality to me. So when I asked my counselor that, like, I just told her, like, why should God love me? Like, all of these things. And then she prayed over me, and God really just made it click to me. So basically what she prayed was that the two things I remember really clearly is that you're fearfully and wonderfully made, and also that God knows your strengths and your weaknesses. So when she started, that was, like, the first few things that she said, and I was already, like, I started to cry because it just suddenly clicked to me that it wasn't that I had to do something super good for God to love me, but, like, it was actually God just showed me that, like, he created me, and he created me as something that he likes. And, like, obviously, everything, and, like, God, so she's like, God knows your strengths and your weaknesses. So it's me who, like, thinks that these things that he's given me is not good enough, but as a matter of fact, he created me this way, and he is pleased with his creation. And, like, obviously, he wouldn't make you so that, like, oh, you're not going to be good enough at this. Like, so it's me, like, and then God just showed me that, like, yeah, he loves the thing that he created, and it's me who can't bring myself to see that, like, this is lovable, or to see that, like, this is good enough. And then, so, like, at once, I was just like, whoa, like, it all makes sense now, because, and then that was really, like, liberating, because after that, when we were singing, when I went back, and then when we were singing, like, the songs, I was just like, oh, how he loves me, like, I was finally able to actually believe it, because it just suddenly made sense that, like, yeah, like, it basically, like, God created me, and God knows me better than I know myself. And then, like, so God's love for me doesn't change, like, even though, no matter what stage of life I'm going through, or no matter if I'm feeling really good about myself, or I'm feeling really bad about myself, like, God's love for me is for his creation. So what I do, or, like, how I feel about this creation doesn't change that fact. So I was just able to, like, believe that, and I think, like, I don't think I ever really believed it, and then, so it was really good for him to give me that at this retreat. Yeah.
is next.
So I've worked something that God showed me, and it's like not just a testimony, but like I have something for, like, do you want me to share from retreat or from like this week?
Both. Or whatever, pick one.
Well, I'll start with this one. So this morning, God showed me something really interesting. So this morning, I went with my parents to the women's championship figure skating.
Whoa.
Whatever it was. And so we were watching that and everything. And there was like a bunch of nationalities. There was like Japanese and like Canadian, American and like Chinese and all this stuff. So as each performer went up, like each figure skater went up, it was like their nationality, of course. So and they would wave their flags and everything. And with all the nationalities, it was the same. It was like a few separate groups and everything that would cheer for their nationality. So until it came to China. And of course, there were so many Chinese people there. So when the Chinese person went up, it was just like a roar throughout the auditorium. Just like everybody, and there were so many flags and everything. So where I'm going with this is, it was interesting that like the Chinese, when they cheered for theirs, it was in their country. So of course, they have a lot of like people cheering for them. But when like someone else like France went up, like there was just a few people, but they cheered so passionately, and it was really what hit me the most was that just like the French people would be cheering in a room full of Chinese people who they're like the minority, you could say, is like us in the world. So instead, like, all around us, the world is cheering for their competitors and the things of the world, all these sinful things, and they're cheering for them. And we are the small people, but when God goes up to be our figure skater, we should cheer so loudly. We should cheer louder than the world and praise Him for all that He's doing. And just, that's something that impacted me. But also, just really quick, share this next thing. So at retreat, I already shared this with Chang, and we talked about it, but when Pastor David Choi was speaking, something that impacted me was he would be preaching in, like, I guess it was the third day or second day, and everyone was, like, kind of falling asleep and, like, kind of not really paying attention that much when he was preaching, but then as soon as he started, like, a story or something, like, a joke, I looked through the whole auditorium, everyone with eyes on him, just, like, waiting for the punchline, waiting for when he met, like, Michael Jordan, like, So what really impacted me is, why can't we do that when we're hearing the gospel and when we're praising God? Like, it should be even more than what we do when we, like, when we're, it's very, like, when we're hearing, like, an interesting story, we're really captivated, and our love with God should be like that. We should be captivated in His love and always seeking more, waiting for the punchline of God's joke, like, oh, so what are you teaching me today, God? I'm so excited for you, and, like, I'm totally into you, and I just want to totally hear you right now. So that's what I learned this week. next. Thank you.
I guess I feel like the one thing that God really shared with me at retreat this time, especially with Pastor David, one thing that really struck my heart was how he said that we were all in a way hypocrites. That we would like go to church and we would like try to act all holy. Because we believe that it's our good deeds that makes God love us. That because we believe that we have to be virtuous. We believe that we have to be perfect. And it just really struck me that because that's me. I mean, I'm the hypocrite. I go to church. I'll be like, oh, shut up, man. And then when I go with my friends, I'll just be all like punk rock, like cursing all day, and I guess it just really discouraged me for a moment. But then it also reminded me, also because for starting with essentialism, but it's not. But I guess it's that God wants us to be authentic people. God wants us to be true throughout. God doesn't want us to be this when we're in this setting and this when we're in another setting. God doesn't want us to be what our environment or what our society or our circumstances ask of us. God just wants us to be who He made us to be and be the same throughout. And I guess that's just a little thing that I feel like God shared with me.
Oh. and that kind of like hit at me a bit. So I guess like five. So she prayed over me, and in the middle she was like, I felt like God's telling me that you don't have to like do this on your own. It was really funny because I was like, okay, I'm like, I know that, but I don't really believe it because I feel like I'm doing a lot of these things on my own, and I feel like I don't have anyone I can reach out to, or if I do, then maybe I'm too busy or something. But then it's kind of funny because like the next day, like session four, they were talking about how like, oh, God's like the vine and we're the branch and that's all we are, and we're nothing without him. And like the David Troy kept like repeating over and over, like, oh, like you need to have God because like without him, like you're nothing, and like you're not, like he's here for you, and you're not just on your own. And I mean, honestly, like right now, I just came out because it felt like I felt like I had to, and I felt like I needed to like pass the time somehow because that was like something that taught me, and now I'm still trying to learn that. And I don't know, this week has kind of been an exercise of that, because all my friends are at SAT prep, and so I have like no one to hang out with, or they're on like Habitat in some like third world country. And so I kind of spend a lot of time on my own and like running, and then I like 2-3 straight days in a row I like went out into like the city, into like a place I've never been before, and just started like walking, and then I walked and talked to God and kept praying, and I was like, God, like, I need, like, a friend right now, so could you be that for me? And, so it's something I'm still working on. Yeah, I guess that's basically it. Like, God's with you, not on your own, even if it doesn't look like that sometimes.
Before I came to retreat, I felt like really spiritually dry, just like and I felt like just the exact kind of hypocrite that David Troy was talking about. Like I would go to church, and I would go to SOAR, and I would be like, "Yay, God, I'm so devoted," and then I would go home and I wouldn't do my quiet times, I wouldn't read my Bible, and I just felt like such a complete hypocrite. And so then I went to retreat, and David Troy, I sort of had like a kind of mentality where I thought like, how could God possibly love me after all this sin and after being such a hypocrite? And I just like completely felt like really distant from God, and like distant from God's love, and feeling like God had, and like sort of asking God, like, God, why have you forsaken me? And sometimes even before that, I would feel like I would go through depressive spells and just like feel like, why do I feel so alone? Why do I feel like God isn't with me? And so I went to retreat, and David Troy was just talking about God's love, and when he did the altar call at like session three, we were singing worship, and I just, God compelled me to go get on my knees, and I got on my knees, and I started weeping, and as I was weeping, I was thinking about how much, I suddenly felt, I could almost literally and physically feel Jesus putting his arms around me and embracing me and telling me that he was with me and that he always loved me, and that he would always be with me, and so after that, I just felt like, I just like had the sudden revelation that I didn't want to spend one more minute thinking that I was alone. I didn't even want to spend one more second thinking that God wasn't with me and that God didn't love me, because I just had the sudden revelation that it's that kind of mentality that was drawing me farther away from God's love. And so after retreat, sort of momentarily fell back into that spiritual dry state. But then I started like reading my Bible more, doing my quiet time more, and praying more, and now I feel really closer to God's love.
So when I realized that that I kind of that was kind of stuck in kind of this kind of depression that goes on and that stops me from, you know, I never start thinking positively at all. I kind of lost that. So whenever things come, even though it's things that not kind of like big trouble, it's just a normal thing that occurrence, I would go in a very negative way. I'll think it in a very negative way instead of thinking it positive. So I pray to God. I start cursing myself for things. And then when I started doing it, when I realized that I wasn't really actually cursing myself, I was cursing God, because I was blaming God for letting things, those terrible things that happened to me. And I was actually blaming God myself. I realized, wow, how dare am I? You know, how dare did I do those kind of stuff? So. Yeah, I know, and during retreat, I felt that the reason why I experienced those failures in my life was I was too relying on my strength, not my God. I was relying on myself, you know. But then during retreat, especially at the Center Worship Center, I felt like God was trying to tell me, like, even though I've been Christian for so long, I haven't really surrendered myself at that moment. So I felt like God was telling me, Andrew, you need to stop. You need to stop and, you know, stop relying on yourself. Stop. Just lay all the burdens to me. You know, just, I'm with you. And I see that. And then when I go up and I ask one of the counselors to pray for me, I feel like really big relief. And I feel like I see angels, like heavens wide open, like angels singing praises. You know, I kind of like, oh, it's praise God. You know, I feel like, wow, that moment is so great. And so, such relief for me. I haven't experienced that for a long time. So, yeah.
Church is going through this like 40 days in the Word thing where they like it's this 40 day study about the Bible and stuff. And so we kind of started at halfway through, but we started going through. And so I've been reading this one passage. One thing they have me do is like they take a passage and then you read it like four times, five times, and then you like paraphrase it so that you like process what it means. You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying? Like, anyway, and then they have another thing where you like read it and you emphasize like one word as you read it so that you can kind of like get the meaning more. So for instance, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, right? Like God is the one. The gospel's about God. For God so loved the world. Well, God loved the world. What is love? Love is here, right? You know, so anyway, does that make sense? God so loved the world. God loved everybody. It's not exclusive, right? You know what I'm saying? So you like kind of chew on the word. You take a verse and you read it like 15 times and you like chew on all that stuff. So one of the verses that they had us do it on was, but the word of God, you guys may know this verse, but the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. It says it's so basically so sharp that it cuts between separating soul and spirit and revealing the thoughts and intents of the heart. So it says that God's word shows the thoughts and intents of the heart. And as I was reading that, I was like, wow, this is why it's so important that I need to be reading my Bible like every day, regularly. Is because I always thought it was just so I could learn more. You know what I mean? Like, oh, I should learn more, I should know the Bible better so I can learn more about God. But actually what that verse says is that the Word of God reveals the thoughts and intents of my heart. Right? Does that make sense? So I was just realizing, wow, I need to read the Bible so that I can know what's really going on in me. Because there's a lot of times I'm like, oh yeah, I'm a good person, I'm pretty holy, I'm really righteous. And then you read the Bible and you're like, oh. That's what I really am like, you know? And that kind of happened this week, too, because, so we're reading James, one of the things we're reading was James, and the verse we, like, chewed on and stuff was, like, be quick to speak, or, not quick to speak, quick to listen, quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger. And when I read that, I thought, I don't get angry. Like, anger is not an issue for me. I have other struggles, like, with pride. I'm so humble, right? But I don't have an issue with anger. That's just what my thought was. And so at the bottom of the thing, it's like, how are you going to apply this verse to your life? And I was like, well, slow to speak, yeah, quick to hear, yeah. Anger, well, I mean, whatever. And then that night, I went to basketball practice, or basketball, I was playing basketball, and this new guy came, and because I read that verse that morning, I was like, oh, I can actually see where my heart is actually a little bit angry sometimes because I'm getting super nervous. I thought he was calling like fouls that weren't fouls, and then like, don't you call foul? Don't you dare call foul? I'm like, well, can I call foul? We're playing streetball, you know. Like, anyway, and I just felt like this, and then I was like, whoa! I didn't even realize that's where my heart was. But then because I had read that morning, I read that. I suddenly my heart was like really clear to me what was really going on. Does that make sense? And so anyway, I guess God's just teaching me how important it is I need to be in his word so that I can know the truth about me and know the truth about God. Anybody else?
It's super short, but like, I guess God kind of like showed to me at the retreat, like, I need to do things for him and not for other people, because, yeah, like, it's really freeing when you do stuff for God and not like to please.
So at the retreat, there are five things I learned, and okay, but I mean, let's just like, I'll try to shorten them up.
No, that's good.
So, yeah. Like, I remember when Pastor David Choi was talking about trying to deepen your relationship with God, he mentioned these five things. So, one of them was to humble yourself. The second was to always confess. The third was to repent. The fourth was knowing the reason why you live by the law. And the fifth was basically, well, actually, I learned this by myself for the fifth, but I mean, still, it was pretty cool. God kind of, like, just, he kind of just reminded me of why, like, you know, I should apply this to my life. But the fifth was, you know, whenever you sing a worship song, like, really ask yourself if you really do believe in this. So, like, for the first one, which is to humble yourself, you know, I realized that, you know, I needed God to break me down because, you know, every single day that I've lived, I've always been thinking, well, I can do this by myself. But then I realized, I was trying to deal with the pressure of, like, tests and stuff, which was actually the week after, a few days after the retreat, and I barely reviewed, so I was just like, thank God, why? But, I realized, like, you know, I can't do everything on my own, and God definitely helped me with that. And the second one was to always confess, because I felt really far away from God, like, I mean, and I was always wondering, like, why? And then I remembered also, like, there were these times when I'm just questioning God's love for me, and I would just be like, God, like, I don't really see why you would love me, because I'm just, yeah, like, I'm just like a sinner, but then I realized, like, you know, also because, like, I didn't really share everything with God that I've done, but I realized, like, you know, if I just share everything that I've done with God, you know, like, every single thing that I do, like, you can just be a lot closer than before. And the third was to always repent. So I realized that, you have to turn away from the things that bring you down. And one of them for me was I was always hard on myself. So if I did something like completely messed up, like I can't really think of a good example right now, but No, if I cheat on the test, you said?
No, I was like, get a B on the test.
Oh no, I'm not you. I will admit there was one time where I cheated on a test, and I felt super guilty about it afterwards, because I got the grade that I didn't deserve. And then, you know, obviously cheating is a sin, because you're cheating, like, off of other people, so I felt really, I felt terrible about it, but, that fact kind of, like, weighed me down for a while. But then I realized that, then I realized that God forgives me, and at the same time, you should repent, so you should actually run, like, turn away from it, instead of, just turn away from it. And, the fourth one, it was, like, usually I define my relationship with God by following the law, but then I realized that, you know, that you don't exactly need the law, because if the Spirit lives inside of you, the Spirit will lead you. So you don't really exactly, like, the Spirit will help you follow that law, sort of, but it's the Spirit that guides you, not the law. So I thought that was really amazing. And the fifth one was, I think before the retreat, usually if someone was going up, like, during worship, I would just sing along, but then I don't believe any word of it. Like, I feel more obligated to sing than to actually, like, I didn't really need it. But I remembered, I was talking to, Justin actually was talking about it, like, during one of our small groups, during retreat. And it got me thinking, like, if I really believed this, I would probably just, like, if I really believed it, like in my heart, if I really believed this, like, man, I could sing that same song every single day. So I just realized, like, if you feel obligated to sing a worship song, seriously, don't sing it. because if you don't believe in it, then, you know, it's not, there's not really no point. But, that's really my life. My situation. I sometimes mess up.
Yeah.
But thing is, what I realize every time I go to retreats, soul retreat, university retreat, the team always reflects something of that about my life. Well, before this retreat, I went to a youth retreat, which is the university youth retreat. We went to Changsha. And that's the only times I travel out. Winter breaks and summer breaks, not in between my semester stuff. I went there, but the team is finished the race. It's funny because it's my last year in university also, yeah. And it's like, finish the race. But then it struck me that, dude, there's an exam that if you don't pass this exam, you won't graduate this year. And I like keep on thinking about the exam the whole winter. It knocked me out the whole month, like 1 month, just thinking about the exam, thinking about whether I'm going to graduate. If I don't graduate, I'm just going to go back here, and the scholarship will be closed and all this stuff. And it's, well, when you're in university, you think about it. Right now, well, in the past also, because it keeps on reminding you what you did in the past, which is wrong or something like that, which you never prefer. Then it reminds you of this present time, what are you going to do today? Well, yeah. Then your future. I don't know if you guys, at this age, think about your future, what your future is going to be. Then that's what happened. I think about these three things all throughout the winter, which makes me up to a point where I cannot think anymore. I'm going to think I nearly lost my mind. But then that Sunday before my exam, I talked to Kenny. And he prayed for me. And in the morning before, on Monday, when I went for the exam, I was at peace. Then I was thinking, God, what happened to my mind? Am I losing my mind? Am I already crazy? I was quiet. I don't think about the exam or whatever. When I sit down, just attach me to the paper, and I just keep on cleaning up the paper. Exam, his spaces and everything. But then, after the exam, when I came back, I just realized that God says, at this point, when you're quiet, that's the time when I take over. And that's not going to be your time. That's going to be me. So you just have to do your part and leave the rest to me. So that I will show you how I walk through you to finish strong. Every time we the past is comes to our mind that reminds us what you have done. Keep on praying, but you feel like, oh man, I'm a sinner and all this stuff. But that is, forget about the past. Think about the future and what I'm going to do for you in the future. He's going to lead you. When I came to this solid retreat, it's solid, yeah? And it means you have to be solid. Sometimes in life, God will push you, will put you out of your comfort zone. What do you have to do? You have to fall down like, you know, blocks fired up, but then just fall down like that, or you can be packing up a space to be solid. You have to build your house in the sand or the rock. You have to be solid. Think about the food you're eating. Are you going to still be drinking milk, whining all the time, saying, blaming myself, blaming God,
why did you do this today? I get this thing bad, like, or you have to be eating the solid word, like word of God, and then moving on. Don't whine about the past, because it's the past. You pray about God, asking for forgiveness. And that's what we always have to do. That's one thing which I remind, like, Chang has talked about past, like, recently, about the past, they're talking about confessing your sin, repent, move on, be humble with yourself. And then let God lead you in the future. And I praise God that what He has done for me, for my 4 years of studies in Shanghai, I really enjoy that. And I believe that He's teaching me to finish strong, and I will stick, be strong, like stay solid in Him. I would encourage all of you guys with my cabin boys and everyone who has talked to me who wants to move on, to know more, to expand the mindset in working with the Lord. Stay solid, step out of comfort zone, because at the end, it's not you who's going to take you on your way. He's going to get you back because He took you out of the comfort zone and pushed you up. And we'll see what God has in our life for the future there. That's it.
Okay, so first of all, everyone has insecurities, right?
Yeah.
So I also have an insecurity that I'm really scared now. So I'm just going to make it really short. So school has been tough. Like, people question, like, are you good enough? Are you good in this or what? Of course, like, I'm also dad too. So, like, I go to retreat and just like, oh God, please do something and help me. So God really did help me. Like, one of the workshops I attended was Dare to be Daniel, and what Taisa said was, God wants us to shine His light and His love to the world without allowing the world to change and mold us into something that's against Him. And so if there's something I really do want to take out of this retreat, it's because, like, when David Choi said that that God's the vine, and we are the branch, apart from Him, we are nothing. And if you remain in Him, in His words, ask whatever you wish and be given to you. Because He did not call us to be His servants or slaves. Because a servant doesn't know a master's business. Instead, He calls us friends. He gives us His unconditional love. So therefore, I want to end up with John 15:16, that you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then my Father will give you whatever you ask my name. Thank you.
Okay, last chance. Here we go. By the way, did you pass your exam?
Oh yeah.
But
oh,
I
well, actually, the whole month, like the whole winter was out. I couldn't think of anything after my exam. When I kind of click onto the website and check all my marks, when I passed, I couldn't say, I was sitting on my chair, because every time I passed my exam, I would turn up my speakers, play loud music in my room, and I was like, yes! But then at that time, the whole winter, I couldn't think, which affect me. When I saw the mark when I passed, I couldn't, like, lift my hands. I was like, and I turned down everything. I just closed every window and just went to bed. I just sleep. No more loud music, nothing. But praise God. God is here.
And then as I got older, I realized that it wasn't just that.
And so I accepted Christ about when I was 10. And then I'm going to fast forward to the retreat where I realized that as we were singing, I can't remember. Yeah, it was like, I think, I can't remember what band it was, but he was singing, "I have decided to follow Jesus." And the Holy Spirit said to me, he said, "No, you haven't. You haven't done that yet." He said, "Raise your hands above your head," both hands above your head, and everyone was doing it, so I was like, "Okay," and I did it. And I felt a burning sensation around my head, and I said, "Okay, now I mean it." And I said, "Can I sing it now?" And he said, "Yeah, sure." And he said, "Yeah, sure, you can sing it." And so I accepted Christ, and then I felt like spiritually strong the rest of the retreat. And then when I got home, I was scared to tell my family that I accepted Christ. I was like, "Oh, what are they going to think of me?" And, well, I told them, and I was like, "Yay, I accepted Jesus. Okay, that's all. I'm going upstairs." And she was like, "Yay." And they were all like, "Great." I was like, "This is embarrassing." And so today, while I was just sitting there, I wanted to go up after everyone. And then I was like, "Okay, I'm going up. I'm going up." And then the Holy Spirit said, "Hey, I want you to go up there." And said, "The only reason you're afraid is because you're afraid of what people will think of you. But it doesn't matter how people see you, it matters how I see you." So I realized that today, and I'm a believer now. So.
Share, but didn't tell somebody at dinner tonight, or tell somebody, go home to your family, or tell one of your friends, or write it up and send it to me, and we'll put it in the last email. Okay? So, actually, no joke, not even kidding, especially for all of you who shared today, if you would be willing to write that up, I'm trying to compile like a booklet of all the things that God does in retreats, like. Over the years. Does that make sense? So like every retreat, kind of like all the stuff God did, so that we can have this book of like all this awesome stuff that God did. So if those of you who share, if you're willing to write it up and send it to me, I'll put it in that book. That'd be awesome. So
just look for all the devos that were after retreats.
Yeah, that works too. You can always do that.
You do? Sweet.
Most of them.